So that part, I mean, I firmly agree with you. Like, you can be an average coach, but if you have a great relationship with your athletes, you can still get them to do crazy good stuff because there's a level of trust there and respect that they feel safe and they feel comfortable. And so even when they mess up, like, there's space for that too. And I think that's really important to be like, you know, I didn't, you know, you didn't get it right, but like, that's okay. Like, we'll learn together on this.
Welcome to the Swim Strong Dry Land podcast, where we aim to highlight inspiring people doing amazing things in the Swim Strong family and in the greater swim community. I'm here with Coach Shayna from the Aquatic Team of Mecklenburg. Really excited for you guys to hear her story, and we're going to dive into some pretty exciting topics. But first, Shayna, we have to do our rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready as I'm going to be.
All right. First one, what would be your walkout song?
Oh, TNT by AC/DC.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
What is a superpower you would choose to have? You could choose any.
To read people's minds.
If you,
I feel like that would be beneficial as a coach, you know? Like,
it would be really beneficial for a lot of. If you were not a coach, what career path would you be doing right now?
Well, I used to be a teacher, so probably would still be in education.
Makes sense. If you were stuck on a deserted island and you could only pick two coaches from Adam to survive with, who gives you the best chance of survival?
Oh, okay. I would pick Stephanie. She's a real critical thinker. And I'd pick Erica because she works in the airline industry and maybe she can find us a flight off of the deserted island.
That's awesome. How about your favorite hospitality room you've ever been to?
Oh, that's easy. Summer Juniors out in Irvine. I mean, they made us like custom omelets for breakfast. I've never seen anything like it.
Kudos to Irvine, Summer Juniors. That was really quick.
Yeah, there's no competition.
How about your favorite cartoon character?
Oh, I'm not a huge cartoon watcher, but I used to watch Looney Tunes with my brother all the time when we were younger. So probably Bugs Bunny, just because he's a menace.
That's good.
Yeah.
And last but not least, what is your favorite thing about Swim Strong Dry Land?
Oh, I mean, I love that y'all do more than just dry land. That's why we picked y'all from the beginning, was because there was so much more that came with the product and all the stuff that I believe in strongly. So
appreciate it. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you did a great job with the rapid fire questions. Quick thinking. We'll jump into more about you now. I want people to really hear all about where you came from, how you ended up in coaching in the first place. Could you share a little bit about your journey into coaching and kind of how you got to where you are?
Yeah, I mean, so I didn't start swimming till I was a freshman in high school. I did like summer league a little bit, but even that, I didn't start till I was like 11 or 12. And so I got into the sport really late, but I fell in love with it. I had been a softball player for years. So I started coaching summer league when I was in high school, and I loved doing that. I did that through college, and then I decided to go to grad school, and my dad understandably said he was not going to pay for grad school. So I had to start working my senior year, and I was like, well, if I have to work, I'd like to do a job that I actually enjoy. So I started coaching at Chapel Hill Y. Age group, like 13, 14 year olds, primarily a little bit assisting with the senior group there. The team doesn't even exist anymore, but the head coach at the time, John King, like just kind of took a chance on a college kid who really enjoyed being involved in the sport. And so that's how I got started. I coached at the Y for 2 years, and then I got my master's in teaching. And so when I knew I was going to come back to Charlotte and start teaching, I was like, I want to keep coaching too. Mm-hmm. And most people told me that was a bad idea. as a first year teacher, they were like, you can't do all of that. And generally I take it personally when people tell me I can't do things. So, I mean, to be perfectly honest, like I knew it was something that I really wanted to keep doing and I would figure out how to do both. It was not easy. It was pretty challenging, to be honest, but when I knew I was moving back to Charlotte, I sent my resume to just every team in the area, just looking for anybody who needed a job. Yeah. And I am a firm believer that, you know, everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so I wound up landing a job at Adam. I mean, they were looking for an age group coach, and the previous owner of the team never owned a computer. So I sent an email to like an email address that went somewhere into the abyss. but she was having lunch with a colleague and she was telling this other coach like, "Hey, I'm looking for a coach." And he's like, "Oh, well, this resume just came across my desk. You should give this girl a call." Mm-hmm. And so that's how I wound up at Adam in 2005. And I've been here ever since. The previous owner was in her 70s when I started working with her. I mean, she's kind of legendary. She's in the Swimming Hall of Fame. North Carolina Coach of the Year Award is named after her. And so she mentored me for about 6 years. And then when she was ready to retire, I bought the team from her. And it's very unconventional. I don't really even know how you buy a swim team other than transfer the name on the bank account. And I started an LLC, but, you know, that's how we did it. And I'm grateful to carry on her legacy. Cause she was really a pioneer in the sport as a female coach. So.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about who that is and the impact that she had on you? Obviously significant.
Yeah. Frankie Bell. She coached in Charlotte for her entire career at a few different locations, briefly in like Goldsboro, which is kind of out in the eastern part of the state. She coached Mel Stewart as an age grouper when he set all North Carolina state records. she coached Doug Van Wee, who is a four-time national champion at Auburn. So her coaching resume is pretty extensive. Those are just two like names that people might be more familiar with. Sure. She really taught me a lot, obviously on the swimming side of things, but just also how to handle myself on the pool deck and how to navigate like just the politics of swimming. There are like two kind of really distinct stories that I think about when I think of her. Mm-hmm. When I was maybe in my second or third season with the team, I can't remember exactly when it was. She fell and she broke her hip. And so it was in early June, maybe late June. And we had the rest of long course season to finish out. And we only had three coaches on our staff. So I took over her senior group. I had been coaching 11, 12s. And I was like, "Frankie, I don't really know what I'm doing." Like, you know, they were her kids that were trying to qualify for juniors and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, "You're going to have to help me out." And so I literally would call her every day and I would break down the practice with her. And then we talk about what to do in the next day. And we had a kid that like won states in the 100 breast, missed summer juniors by like 2/10. So we had one more meet to try to qualify for it. And I called her again and I was like, "I don't know how to re-rest a kid. Like, what am I supposed to do?" She was like, "Well, good thing I know how to re-rest a kid." And I was like, "Great." You know, she walked me through essentially that whole last chunk of the season. And so I really learned a lot from her that way and was grateful, you know, that she'd always invested in me, but she took the time for that. The other thing is a story that she always tells. She had a kid win, I can't remember, I think it was senior nationals, win an event, maybe two back. And her name's Frankie, right? And so people assumed she was a man. And, you know, at those national level meets, when your athlete wins the event, you get to put the medals on the kids that are on the podium. And so she, you know, walked down past all these coaches to put medals on these kids. And she could hear everybody as she was walking by saying, "Frankie's a lady, Frankie's a lady, Frankie's a lady." And to me, that was just kind of like a perfect like microcosm of her whole coaching career, where she was just kind of constantly proving to people that she was capable of doing things when people said she couldn't. I mean, she coached at a YMCA in Charlotte that was like on the wrong side of the tracks, and they'd show up at these meets and kick everybody's butt, and then people would be like, "Those kids know how to swim," you know. So that may be where I tend to take things personally as well and say like, "You can't tell me I can't do something." I may have learned some of that from her, but yeah, I mean, she I got pulled over by a police officer once that she taught how to swim. Like,
that's her so
influence
wild.
In North Carolina and in the city is pretty far reaching and that's incredible.
Amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. An incredible legacy too. And you're doing a fantastic job of carrying it on. It's a blessing to get to work with you and to see the things that you're doing, the impact you're making on all the athletes and the families at Adam now has been just really special to witness, and just getting to spend more and more time with you, both on the pool deck, off the pool deck, on Zoom calls, in person, all those different things have been really a privilege for me and for our staff to get to witness. Would you say, like, the way that she mentored you, is that something that you feel like is something that you're wanting to give back in the same way? Like, in what way has her coaching now, and does it continue to impact the way that you coach or work with your staff, work with the kids? Just wondering if that carries over.
Yeah. I mean, I think in some ways it does. And then in some ways I have to be my own person, and be true to who I am as an individual as well. So, I often think about, her legacy in the sense of being a female coach and what that looks like, and empowering other female coaches. It's very unintentional, but we have a very female dominated coaching staff. I did not do it on purpose. It's just kind of the way it's worked out.
Awesome.
But, you know, I think about that often when I work with my coaching staff. And I also think about our female athletes, not that I don't think about the boys too, but it just in a different sort of way, that if swimming can be a space to help them grow in confidence and teach them how to advocate for themselves and believe in themselves, then I want to be able to do that. To just tiny little anecdote, yesterday, we're getting ready for senior sectionals this weekend. So we're just trying to have a little bit of fun and keep it light. And so I sent kids off the blocks, like two at a time, and had them just race a 25 free just for fun. And I was like, and then if you win, like, practice your celebration, like, give me your best Selly, you know?
I love it.
And true to form, the boys were, you know, blowing water in the air and smacking and hanging on the lane lines, and none of the girls would celebrate. Not a one of them.
Really?
And that's okay. Like, if they don't want to do that, that's fine. I'm not trying to force them to be somebody they're not, but I also want them to have the confidence to be able to say, like, you know, I'm really good at this and I'm capable, and not feel like that's a prideful thing to say, to acknowledge, like, that you are good at something, because the men in the world don't have a problem telling you how good they are at things. Sometimes, you know, no offense, sometimes even when they're not, right? So you know, let's be real. But, you know, so I think about it in that sense, but then also, you know, she was really old school, like really old school. I mean, we're talking, you know, 8,000 yards a day kind of practice. And that's, to me, that's not how swimming is anymore. There's certainly something to be said for, like, high volume and, like, putting in work and trusting the work that you've put in. But the sport has changed so much in the last 15, 20 years since I took over and since she was coaching, that I also have to be willing to adjust and adapt and approach it in a way that's relatable to the kids that we coach now.
Yeah. That's amazing. There's a lot of things you said there that I want to hit on, including your coaching style, your mindset, where that comes from. But first, what struck me is your passion for developing people, and specifically too, just talking about the challenges and adversity and doubt and things that you might have to deal with as a female coach that male coaches don't even have to think about. I'm curious if you could share, because I do think it is unique to have a majority of female staff. That's not something that is super common. And so anyway, could you talk a little bit about maybe some of the doubt, if you have noticed people doubt you because have you seen that? Like, because you're a female, people think, oh, like, whatever, I don't know, fill in the blank. Is that something you've experienced, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say now I don't experience it as much, but I've also been on the pool deck for over 20 years at this point. so that looks a little bit different than I did when I first started and I was, you know, 21 years old, or even when I bought the team, I was barely 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it looks different over time. I do think, like, on some level, respect is earned. And so there are just dues that you have to pay.
Sure.
To earn that respect and prove that you're competent and capable. But I also definitely think that I've been in rooms where I've been talked down to just because somebody didn't know who I was, or just because I was a female. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, it is what it is. but that's not going to make me be silent. You know, I have to understand that, like, learn how to navigate that in a way that's so respectful towards other people. And then also continue to advocate for myself and advocate for my athletes. I usually get in trouble when, it's not about me. Coaching is not about me. I usually get in trouble when I'm advocating for my athletes, and I feel like things aren't fair for the kids. And there are a lot of people, unfortunately, in the sport that don't think about it that way. And so in that case, like, I'm just not going to be silent. Like, I'm going to say what needs to be said. And the funny part is, Stephanie is my head age group coach. We talk about this a lot. After the fact, we'll always get people, like, when we speak up and say something, we'll always get people after the fact that will be like, oh, I'm so glad you said that. And it's like, cool. Like, you could have supported me in that meeting, you know? Like, that would have been really awesome if you had been like, you know what? I agree. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, I'm not going to walk around with a chip on my shoulder about it. I'm always going to try to do what's best for the kids. And, you know, try to do it in a way that's still respectful, regardless of how somebody else is going to treat me. But, you know, I will say, like, on the coaching side of things, it can be really daunting to stand on a pool deck and be one of only a few females on deck. I was at trials in 2021, and I think there were probably less than 20 female coaches on that pool deck. Every time I go to juniors, I count how many female coaches I see. And if we hit 13, it's a good year. That's an eyeball, but still, I do it every year. I walk on deck and I count. And so, you know, I think it's a tough place to break into. And for someone like me who didn't swim in college, I don't have those kinds of connections either. I have to create my own. I think there are some female coaches out there that get the opportunity, and I don't blame them one bit. If I knew Greg Troy, I would play that card every day of the week. You know what I mean? Like, I don't blame anybody for that. But I do think that I would encourage any female coach who's getting involved to look for ways to get involved so that you can find your footing and understand how things work. So that you can create a space for yourself, because sometimes it has to be really, really purposeful.
Yeah. I was going to say, something that you've done really well is navigating that with such grace, but also tact and, like, hard work. And you've, like, just done such an incredible job. And people don't want to talk about stuff like that, I don't think. People are uncomfortable maybe talking about that type of thing. But it's like, that's the experience probably of every female on the pool deck, I would guess, for you know, when you are in the minority and you feel like people are and you know people are either thinking something about you or saying something about you or looking down or whatever it is, you know, it's different, it sounds like, for sure, for a female versus a male coming into the swim coaching world. And so we do need more voices of people who have that experience and are like, hey, I'm really trying to blaze a trail and not let this just be the way that it is, you know, like, 'cause it's a hard balance, and I have no idea how to navigate this. If I was in your position, but, like, knowing, hey, this is a real thing versus, what am I going to do about it? Like, that's always the challenging thing. And I feel like you're doing such an amazing job of that. By leading by example and using your voice. And that's something that, you know, just a lot of people are afraid to do. And so, but I think talking about it more is really important, and men talking about it more is really important, because if men are in the majority in the swim coaching world, which clearly they are, then you need those voices to be speaking too, right? You can't just have the ladies advocating for themselves, which is important, but it's important for other people too. Anyway, I appreciate you talking about that subject. And I was actually going to ask you what advice you would give to a female coach who's trying to come in to the swimming world and feels that way. Like, oh, this is intimidating. This is scary. Oh, my ceiling's maybe right here because this is what other people have put on me. And how did you, this leads a little bit into your mindset, but how as a young coach and as a female coach and having that mindset of, I love doing things that people tell me I can't do. What did that look like for you in your early days of coaching, overcoming different biases, overcoming doubters, overcoming adversity? What did that look like for you mentally as you were going through that process? Cause even though now it's like 20 years later, it's like, this girl's freaking amazing. You probably at different points, like I'm sure there were a lot of lows in that time for you to get to this point. And so I'm curious to hear a little bit more details of the journey.
Yeah. So I think if you are walking around with no doubt, then you're probably not being honest with yourself. Like none of us have it all figured out. Right. So I think it's pretty normal to be like, oh, I didn't get that right. You know, I wonder how I could do this differently. This summer, I wasn't super happy with the way we swam at Futures. And so I did a lot of like self-reflecting. Okay. You know, I asked you for Joe's number at Crow Canyon because I wanted to pick his brain. His team's about the same size as ours and they're crushing it, you know? But I would say as far as like significant doubt or uncertainty, even as close as 3 or 4 years ago, our team went through a huge staff change that was pretty emotional, I don't want to get into the details, but it was a lot. And so I had been coaching age groupers for a long time, 13-14s. That's always where I felt my like strong, like where that was my bag of tricks. Like I could coach the crap out of 13-14 year olds. And I had to transition back into senior swimming, which I had done before and I loved doing. But it's different. And so, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty even then for me on what does that look like and how do I do a good job with these kids? Because they were super talented. And I didn't want to mess it up. I mean, that's the honest truth. Like, I don't want to mess that up for these kids. You know, I feel a sense of responsibility to them. So, you know, I think like, I talk to the kids a lot about stacking small wins, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's never going to be just giant win. Like we went from here to here and there was nothing in between. It's sort of the same idea as trusting the process, right? Yeah. Like you have to go through the steps to get to the end. And with coaching, like there kind of never is an end, right? You're always restarting with a new group of kids or a new season or whatever. And so, but if I can stack those small wins and say, okay, we did this better this season than we did the last season. So we're moving in the right direction. And we did this better than we did last season. So we're moving in the right direction. Then it allows you to sort of recognize where the doubt creeps in. That's not true. And sift through what is true. Right. And that allows you then to figure out, okay, these are things that we really do need to work on. Like we didn't do a good job with X, Y, and Z, and we can be better. So how do we get better? But we did do a really good job with A, B, and C. And so let's continue to build on that. So I think recognizing those kinds of things and having measurable goals throughout a season, sometimes like culture is harder to measure, but I think you can. That allows you to work through a lot of those doubts. I think also being really honest with your athletes and saying like, I don't have all the answers. Like, I don't always know either. We're figuring this out together. Mm-hmm. Can take some of the pressure off. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that to a kid sometimes like, okay, I know we've got a problem here. Let's work together to fix it.
Yeah. Those are great ways to view things that I think very few people actually do because it takes a lot of humility. Even though you've had, honestly, some great seasons, you had one meet where you're like, this didn't go the way that I wanted. I want more out of this. And so instead of just saying like what every coach does, oh, it's just a swim meet that didn't go my way, Which is true. That's how some swim meets go. You're like, what can I do better? What can I do more? Instead of like being afraid of like doubts or wondering what you could do better, you like went after it head on. Call Coach Joe. You call a coach from across the country who's doing a great job too, to see if you can get any insight. Like that's just, that's a level of coaching. To me, that's how all of the greats become great. I've never heard a great coach or legendary coach say, yeah, I just was so smart and I figured all this stuff out on my own and was a good, like every legendary coach from like John Wooden to Phil Jackson to like Vince Lombardi. You could talk about any legendary coach in any sport and they're going to say that they were always learning from other people and they never got full of themselves and it was always a constant adventure. And I loved how you talked earlier too about just how the sport is constantly evolving and you have to evolve with it. And if you don't, you're going to fall behind. But that's something that I think is really challenging for a lot of people to do because it shows vulnerability. It shows like, hey, I don't know everything. I have doubts and fears and sometimes question if I, and you're talking about like, hey, sometimes an athlete comes to me and you're like, I'm not sure yet about this problem, but let's figure it out together. Is that mindset come naturally to you? Is that something you just realize you need in order to be great? Is it something that comes from like people you admire and look up to? Where does that come from? Because I don't think that's natural. I think human nature is to be super prideful and pretend like we have it together. Is that something that you learned? Is that something you realize you just needed? Is that something that's like built in? Where does that come from for you?
I mean, I don't think that's built in. Like, I think I'd be giving myself way too much credit. And I was like, just came by it real honest. But there's, there's a couple of things. One, so I will give just my family a lot of credit. As a family of athletes, I'm like the only one that didn't play a D1 sport. My uncle owns a gym and he works with a bunch of athletes at the University of Illinois. And one of the things that he always says is humble and hungry, right? Mm. Like that's his thing. And he's not the first one to say that, but, you know, he would sometimes train me and my brother, my cousins and that kind of stuff too, or just talk to us about where we were with our athletic career. My parents in the same way, it was always like, what do you want to get out of these things? Right. And always viewing it as an opportunity to learn. So I think some of that is just sort of the way I was raised.
Yeah.
And that phrase humble and hungry has always stuck with me. Cause like, if you ever get to a point where you've got it, you think you have it all figured out and you aren't hungry anymore and you get complacent, like that's the moment that everything, nothing's going to, you don't have it figured out anymore. You're going to learn real quick that you don't actually know what you're talking about. I think the other part of it for me too, is because my coaching career was pretty just unconventional. I mean, I worked with essentially two head coaches and then was a head coach myself. I was always kind of looking for mentors, because I just didn't have a lot, right? Like I didn't move from club to club. A lot of coaches have been at multiple clubs before they settle somewhere. And so there's a lot of networking that happens when you do that. And I've been at two clubs my entire coaching career. One of them is Adam, and that's 98% of my coaching career. So, I got to a point where I was like, hey, I don't know what the next step is sometimes, or how do I get kids to the next level? And so I was kind of forced to humble myself and just start talking to coaches and asking questions. I remember in 2016, I had a boy, he was like 15 or 16 years old, that was pretty close to trials in the 100 breast. And we did not get it. And that's okay. He wound up getting it later on, going into 2021 trials when he was in college. But I sat there and watched all these other kids do it. And I was like, I think I need some help. Like we got close, but not all the way there. Talked to Beth Winkowski, who's now with USA Swimming, but she was at Dynamo at the time. And I knew her a little bit. And so I was like, let me just pick Beth's brain. Like that's a safe place to start. Mm-hmm. And so ever since, I think that was probably the first time that I was like, I need some help. Mm-hmm. And so ever since then, I just kind of always watch on the pool deck, like coaches that I feel like are doing a really good job. And consistently are doing a really good job. I think we can all have flash in the pan moments where things come together really nicely. But it takes a lot of work to consistently produce really good athletes. And so just kind of always asking people questions. What did you do? How did you train them? You know, what does your culture look like? What do you emphasize? You know, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, that's a great point. Sustained excellence is way more difficult than having like a good year or two. I mean,
it is so hard.
You get different talent pools every year. You get different culture because different people graduate in, new people come in, move ups, different things. It's always unique. But when you see sustained excellence, that's something that is definitely super challenging. And so I think asking questions and then being open to talking to other coaches is amazing. And also speaks to just your passion and your confidence to want to be great and to confidence and like, I know who I am. I'm trying to be the best coach I can be. Like, I'm here for the kids. You said this earlier. It's not about me. It's about the kids. And so like, that's exactly what a coach does who doesn't care about their own pride. They care about how they can do the best they possibly can for the kids. So there's definitely a level of confidence in there. And I think that's something that kids pick up on too. And honestly, a huge, and I've seen you do this on deck, been able to witness this to a small degree. But I'm sure it's massive when you're with a kid day to day. But being able to instill confidence in an athlete, being able to coach confidence, coach more than just swimming and care about them on a deeper level than just swimming, that's something that you do phenomenally that I think is so underestimated. If you can connect with athletes and you're a bad coach, you're probably going to still end up with pretty good results because there's buy-in, right? But then if you can connect with them and you're doing the things that you're doing, trying to be the best coach you can be, that's a deadly combination. But can you talk a little bit about the confidence side, instilling confidence in the athletes or even focusing on their mental health or whatever it is that you do so well to care for your kids more than just in the pool?
Yeah, I mean, this is an ongoing process for me. I don't know that building the relationships part, I feel like has always been something that I was intentional about. Even when I was young, like when I decided I wanted to teach, like I like history, but I didn't go into teach high school history because I was like just this big history buff. Like, don't ask me any dates. I don't know. That's what a textbook is for. You know what I mean? But like, I went into teaching because it was an opportunity to work with kids and to be a positive influence to the best of my ability. And I'll never always get it right, but I'm going to try my best. And the same with coaching. So that part, I mean, I firmly agree with you. Like, you can be an average coach, but if you have a great relationship with your athletes, you can still get them to do crazy good stuff because there's a level of trust there and respect that they feel safe and they feel comfortable. And so even when they mess up, like, there's space for that too. And I think that's really important to be like, you know, I didn't, you know, you didn't get it right, but like, that's okay. Like, we'll learn together on this. But on the, you know, the mental health side of things, you know, I was talking about 4 years ago, I took back over senior swimming. It was a really rough time in our club. It was also right at the start of COVID. So like, there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like, if it could have all happened at once, it happened at once for our team. And I'd never experienced anxiety before ever in my entire life, or not that I was aware of at least, and certainly not to a point where it was like pretty crippling. And you know, fortunately and unfortunately, my husband has dealt with that before, and he was pretty able to be like, that's what this is, because I didn't even know. You know, started going to therapy, and it made all the difference in the world for me to be able to learn how to handle that and how to process it and to move forward. And so I would never wish that on anybody, but I also don't think that I would be able to relate to what some of my athletes experience if I hadn't experienced it for myself. And so, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're looking at until you've experienced it on your own. And, I would never wish that sort of feeling for anybody, swimmers or likewise, but I do think it's given me a better awareness and a better, just more empathy for people in those kinds of situations that I just would have never had before. Mm-hmm. I just really advocate for my athletes to take care of their mental health. I think, you know, happy swimmers are fast swimmers and mm-hmm. confident swimmers are fast swimmers. And really, I mean, at the end of the day, even if they're not that fast, if they're happy and they're confident, like, that's great too. I mean, that's the most important thing. You know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. I think swimming is a tool to kind of reveal those things sometimes for kids that they would experience at some other point anyway in their life, and really teaches them how to manage it. And so if I can be a part of that process, then I'm grateful for that, even though it's really hard sometimes. But I would rather them experience it in a safe place with us than somewhere else where it's not as safe. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have all the answers by any means, but, I could tell so many stories of kids who have, like, even at this season, at the start of the season, were a mess, right? Like, struggled to make it through a practice because the fear was so crippling. And now that they've gotten the help that they've needed, like, they're completely different people. Mm-hmm. And that to me is just fantastic to see them blossom in that way, even outside of the pool.
Yeah. That's incredible. And I do want to take a moment too to plug, like, for the story, when you do get to a point where anxiety is that rough, it is super challenging. And I've been in that exact same point myself. Around the same time as you, and it's not fun. But regardless of whether you get to that point or never get to that point, I just want to plug for how awesome, like, being able to talk to someone is. Having therapy is like the exact opposite of weak, in my opinion. The people who are willing to go get help and be able to, and getting help isn't because there's something like, oh, there's something wrong with you. It's like, no, like, I'm a human and like, we all need help. Whether you realize you need help or not is on you, but we all need help being the best versions of ourselves that we can be, going through different life stages and life situations. And I just hope that anybody listening realizes that, like, going and talking to someone is so beneficial at any stage in your life, and know that you're never alone. I think those are just really important things. Just from hearing you and from thinking back on my own personal life experiences, I think there's a stigma that's just the exact so wrong about, like, oh, it's weak to talk to somebody. I'm like, it's actually the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It's actually the exact opposite. If I could say that. And I believe that strongly. So, but anyway, you being able to connect with your kids in that way is huge. And genuinely care about them, and being able to empathize to having, like, gone through different life experiences as well always helps. But just the fact that you're thinking for them in a much bigger way of, I love how you said, like, confident and happy. If I can have a confident and happy swimmer, they're more likely to swim fast, and they'll probably be a lot closer to the best version of themselves in the pool that they could be, but they're also going to be set up really well for life. Because even if they're not that talented in the water, they'll still see some success for sure. But then when they're confident and happy here, and then they move on to the next life stage, and then they find something they are super talented in, that's they're going to be changing the world and whatever it is that they're doing. And so I think that's huge. And just a lot of people don't take the time to have those conversations with their athletes. And we love talking about team culture. I've noticed this with every team or coach that I've ever spoken with, like, but team culture, our team culture is strong. We always talk about team culture. It's a mission statement on our website. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe in. And then if you were to go on deck and, like, spend a few days at their practices, you'd be like, this does not at all line up with what your website says. and I just think, but that's not the case with you guys. It's like, oh, this very much lines up with your mindset and how you take care of the athletes and how you view this, them as whole people, not just as swim athletes. And is that something that you preach a lot to your coaching staff? Is that something you guys hold each other? How do you hold each other accountable? Is it something you guys talk about at your meetings? Or because implementation, talk is super easy. Implementation is something you're doing doing really well, but I would say a lot of people probably struggle with that.
Yeah. I mean, I will say there, we have, it's a challenge for us in the sense that we swim out of three different pools. And so we don't always overlap a ton and we don't have an office. You know, so a lot of our communication is virtual. I try to meet with my coaches, like my full-time coaches, at least once a month, just face to face. So we get some of that FaceTime. And then I try to roll around through practices when I can, to visit and that kind of stuff too. And then, you know, also just pop in at meets that I may not have athletes swimming at, so I can get a feel for what's going on. You know, we have obviously a mission statement, and then we have four core values, that we really try to emphasize and teach to our athletes. And I think if we're doing that as a coaching staff, then it's a really good reminder for us that we better practice, what we preach. And so, you know, and I talk to our coaches a lot about what you said, like recognizing the whole person and not just the swimmer. Because if anybody were to just look at me as only a swim coach, right, or you as like just a dry land coach, like they don't know who you really are and what really excites you, you know, like that's only one part of me. So I think that's really important, you know, and understanding like all the things that kids love. And they're not just swimmers. But yeah, I think we can always do better. I always feel like we never do a good enough job when it comes to teaching our core values. I'm always like, what's a better way to do this next time? You know, I've already started to think about some stuff for the fall that I want to implement, and kind of, I got an idea from another coach down in South Carolina making like houses, like Harry Potter style houses for our core values and splitting kids up into teams and, awesome. Doing some inter squad meets with that, and I don't know. That's so cool. we're always trying to, like, and again, I can't take credit for that. I'm going to steal it from somebody else, but we're always looking for ways to do a better job with that. Because I think too, if you put that stuff out there and then you don't follow through on it, like people don't trust you, you know? And so if I'm going to put that out there, I better follow through on it, or somebody's going to throw it back in my face and be like, you said, you know, whatever. And it's like, you're right, I did. And I didn't do it, you know? So, yeah, you know? So like, if you're going to put that out there as a team, you better be willing to really follow through on it. Otherwise, it's, I mean, talk is cheap, you know?
Yeah, no. That's great. I love it. And I like the idea that you just said too. I hope some other coaches steal that idea as well and try to implement something to really emphasize core values in a fun way, because that's super unique. Well, this has been amazing and super insightful. I have one final question for you. And it's centered around just coaching, Adam. Like, for you, what is... And maybe this is not an easy answer, so you can say whatever comes to mind. But why do you love coaching specifically at Adam? And I know you've been there for coming up on almost 20 years now. Why do you love coaching there?
I like that we do have the opportunity to meet kids where they're at, and really get to know them. You know, we're in a town with like two of the biggest teams in the country, and that's not a knock on them. I have plenty of respect for what they're doing. But we're in an eighth of the size of those teams. And so I love the fact that I could probably name almost every kid on the team, if I saw them walk through the door. And if I couldn't, I still know their name and I just haven't quite put it to a face yet. And I don't ever want to get away from that, that feeling of family. And I think that's unique to us because of our size. I mean, we're 170 kids on a good day. And so that's something I'll never strive to be 800 athletes. Because I don't have the time to manage 800 athletes, but it takes away from, I think, what we're really trying to do, which is care for kids where they're at and help them be the best version of themselves through swimming. Like, swimming is just a means to an end, you know, it's not the end all be all. So
that's awesome. So, you know, you're going to be a part of a special community if you're with Adam, and that's something that is really cool. And you can hear the passion even as you say it, and just the genuine nature of that statement is pretty incredible. Your athletes are super lucky and blessed to be coached by you. The staff is blessed by you as well. And I know you're blessed by all of them just the same way.
Absolutely.
I know you would say the same thing, but we appreciate you a ton. We're thankful to have you a part of the Swim Strong family. I'm thankful for your time on here, the podcast, which I'm sure no doubt will inspire many people around the country. Shayna, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. I appreciate you thinking of me. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to do my best out here. So
doing amazing.
Learning from you as well. And we're grateful for Swim Strong. I mean, it's been a huge asset to our team as well. So
appreciate the kind words. Thanks so much. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch a new episode each Monday. You can also check us out on social media at Swim Strong Dryland. If you would like to join the Swim Strong family, visit our website at swimstrongdryland.com.